Welcome to another edition of the Skyhook. My name is James Kay, and right now I have Chris Pennett on the line to discuss the Chicago Sky's 2020 offseason. I mean, Chris, there's so many directions in which we could go with this. We're recording this on February 19th, and, you know, it's been a while since we've been able to hop on the mic to talk about this, though. But, I mean, how are you doing? How are you, like, how have you been able to digest this crazy offseason we've seen in the WNBA so far?
It's great. It's great. You know, it's hard to have a free agency period that gets the same kind of weight as it does in other sports, other more traditional professional sports, just because there's so many other sports going on. But the WNBA has not only lived up to the hype in player movement, it's lived up to it in coverage. And I know that there's been a lot of talk from some respected journalists and respect to them. I want to make sure that that's clear. Respect to them for calling out the major shows on ESPN and Fox Sports for not giving the league their due time. But it's been covered and covered well by organizations who weren't doing so even two or three or maybe even a year ago. So it's been really exciting and I'm happy to see it.
Me too. I've been really impressed by how people have responded. Even ESPN has had a slight uptick in their coverage of the WNBA. I've been pretty critical of them in the past. So I'm glad to see, you know, if you're going to be the worldwide leader in sports, you got to cover the WNBA and, you know, women's college basketball. But, you know, we can, and that's something we can get to down the line. But let's just do a quick overview of the Sky's offseason moves. Vander Quiggs, Steph Dolson, and Kalia Copper all re-signed with the team on multi-year deals. Chicago also signed former Aces guard Cindy Colson, which will be so fun to watch her off the courts because she does some fun multimedia stuff. Also, I would consider the downside, Astun Adu was shipped in a sign-and-trade deal with the Dallas Wings for a 2021 first-round pick. And Katie Lou Samuelson and a future first-round pick were shipped to Dallas for Azrae Stevens. So with all of those moves, Chris, and I don't think I missed any, and correct me if I did, but where are you at with where the Sky are? Do you want to just do a quick grade for the Sky's off season so far?
It's difficult, right? It is difficult because I think what hurts is losing KLS. Not because she was an integral part of the team, but because you have to chalk it up as a failure in drafting for James Wade. And I know that you cut bait early on because you don't want to stick with somebody who doesn't fit the scheme. But it's so hard for me to say that she didn't. And no disrespect to Madeline Kenny, but I read the article that she wrote after the move was made, after the trade. And she said that Katie Lou never fit in the scheme for James Wade in the Sky. She has access that I don't have. But she was hurt for a good part of the season. She never got any significant run time. So it's hard to say, it's hard for me to say, and again, this is as an outsider relatively, that she never fit the scheme. So you really have to look at it as, if you take that James Wade made a miss because she was the fourth overall pick. The last time we got together, we were talking about if she could become a Kayla McBride, and that, I guess, wasn't ever in the cards for this team. So that's the one that I really am not feeling good about. Otherwise, signing Kalia Copper to a big-money deal, that's great. I don't think that there's a question. You can put me on record with this. I don't think that there's a question that she's going to live up to that cash. Mm-hmm. She is such an exciting player with a lot of skills. She's a slasher. She gets to the basket in a time where analytics are so heavy. She gets to the free throw line a good amount, and she shoots free throws well. And she has a good defensive intensity on the other end of the floor. She teams up very well with Diamond DeShields, which is what the Sky are really looking at, with Courtney and Allie being nearing the end of their careers as opposed to the beginning. Not saying that they're ending their career soon, but they're close to the end of the career than the beginning. Diamond and Ka are still very young, and they complement each other very well. So the Sky are trying to build, I think, for the long term around Diamond, and if you can find a long-term running mate for Diamond, that's somebody you really need. Like having Sydney Colton, Zuri Stevens is on a prove-it kind of deal,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that she proves it. So things could have been better, but she didn't see this guy going after big-time free agents that would have upset their chemistry of balance. So I would give it a B,
mm-hmm.
just because I think they locked up a good player. They brought back their squad. I didn't even mention my big homie, my favorite, Steph Dolson. So losing Astu, who is such a great player, who's so versatile, it is going to hurt. I think it does hurt, but it's going to be an interesting year no matter what. It's not like last year where all the players were out, but this year with the Olympics is going to test a lot of teams. So I don't mind what they did at all. I think they could have done better. They could have somehow made a splash for a bigger time free agent and still signed Kalia Copper. But I feel good about the moves they made.
So I'm with you with most of that. So I'm just going to start off with my grade at the top. I gave them a B+. I think that my thoughts on that have they were, for me, like going through this, because we were going to do this like a couple days ago. I went from like B- to A- to B, and then like I feel comfortable B+ now, because, I mean, there's so many elements to this. I mean, everybody else in the WNBA, or at least the contenders that the Sky were really worried about, they all got better on paper. And the Sky are running it back after, you know, they were bounced in the second round. I mean, it was controversial. And I mean, they, you know, the Derek Ahambi shot really does change everything with how we view the Chicago Sky heading into 2020. However, I think one reoccurring theme on this pod has just been that the Sky were operating on two different timelines, with the youth needing to progress and the veterans, like at least talent wise, were ready to win now. And I think one underrated part of this whole offseason that I think not a lot of people are talking about, at least not enough people outside of Sky Nation or Sky Town, excuse me. I mean, James Wade is betting on Diamond to Shields in a big way by not tinkering too much with this roster. And I think that says a lot about where this team could go in 2020. And that's why I really think, like you said it best, like they're building around Diamond. And James Wade said, with not doing too much with this roster and tinkering with it too much, that we are giving you the keys, Diamond. We did a little bit last season, but now you need to be the best player on the court every night, pretty much. And, you know, I think that is the right move. And I think that, like she just said it on First Take, that no, there's no one else in the league that can do what she does. That's her opinion. So now, year three, this is when she will do it. I think that, and I really think that, you know, you put her in a comfortable position, bringing back Vander Quiggs. You bring back like Steph, who I think really fits Diamond's game as well, because, you know, Steph doesn't need to be an inside force necessarily. And that opens up space for Diamond to get to the rim, and she can still provide that outside presence as a shooter. So to me, like, my grade for this is just, okay, you know what? We're letting Diamond, you're betting on Diamond to Shields in a really big way, and that you're expecting her to take a significant jump. And to me, that really says it all for the Sky. But I mean, the part that really frustrates me is the Katie Lou Samuelson, like the narratives that are being kind of thrown out there with this. I mean, when people say that the Katie Lou Samuelson pick was the wrong pick, the only pushback I have with that is that it meant something different at the time. We didn't think about what people were saying about this guy heading into 2019. They were a fringe playoff team. That's what people were saying, that they couldn't really, I mean, they weren't going to be in the upper echelon of WNBA teams last year. And look what they did. And I think over the course of the year that James Wade realized, okay, this team is ready to compete now. And Katie Lou was a project heading into this past season. And, you know, for a team that was kind of, I mean, just think about how bad the Amber Stocks era was. Like, how could you think that they were ready to go, like, be a playoff team right away after how that went, you know? And it was not like the same team, because you had Jantel, obviously, but like, and, you know, the youth like Gabby and Diamond all, you know, grew a lot last year. But like, to say that Katie Lou Samuelson pick was the wrong pick when you had a different mindset about where the team was at, at the time of the draft, and then you do well at the beginning of the season, everything changes. It's just like, you're not necessarily wrong. It just means that in retrospect, a year later, that you should have picked someone else. And I think those are completely different things. But push back. Is there anything I'm saying here that's nuts?
No, you're right. They weren't picked to be, and that's the wild thing, right? We were here and we saw what this team was capable of. We knew what Diamond could do. We knew what Allie and Courtney could do. And we honestly, Steph is a known commodity too. So I think it was just like, what were their deficiencies, defense and like offensive rebounding and basically who could close out. So we knew what the team could do, but everybody was so up on Las Vegas for getting Liz and the Mystics for having Della Dunn, and they were so close last year. And those things bore out, but it was wild that I think it was wild to me that nobody was really looking at this guy to be a playoff contender, mm-hmm. or even a playoff team in some cases. But it bugs me that that was the fourth, it was the fourth pick. Mm-hmm. And even in a league with fewer teams and fewer available spots, it's still the fourth pick, fourth overall pick in the draft. And for her to be gone from the team after a season is not, it worries me. I like James Wade as a coach a lot. I just want to see how he drafts this year.
Oh, definitely. I mean, who they're getting back in Azaray Stevens, I think that Azaray is going to be really solid. I was a little bit crucial of this deal when it happened. I just gave my initial reaction was just that I didn't like the deal with KLS. I mean, to tie her with another first-round pick for someone in Azaray Stevens who was injured last year and had she had a foot injury that, she thought she could come back with, go back with the season for, and she wasn't able to do that just because of how badly injured it was. And I don't know, just like to get someone where who you don't know where she's at health wise and to tie it, like, just to give up on Katie Lou and to tie a first round pick to that for Azaray, I mean, that just seemed like the sky overpaid. Like, if you were to tell me that it was KLS for Azaray straight up, I would have been like, okay, I mean, I can kind of begin to see the logic in that. But again, after the KLS trade happened, I spent a lot of time watching Azaray, just a lot of her tape. And I actually think she's a really good fit in James Wade's system. Like, losing Katie Lou long term, I think, could hurt the Sky, just in terms of like what their ceiling could be, because that's what it really came down to for me, is like, I feel like if Katie Lou unlocks the aggressiveness that she needed to be successful. And that's something that and I've said this before, Gio Auriemma said is like the biggest downfall with KLS, and I'm just paraphrasing here, is that she's not aggressive enough. Azaray is very aggressive. She's 6'6". She can play defense. She played really great defense her first year. And I watched a few of those games, like in 2018 of her, and she's like, she's really solid on the defensive end. But just the uncertainty of her health going into next season with Astu leaving. And remember, Astu averaged 10-7 from late July and on after Jantel went down, and she averaged 16-8 in the playoffs. So you're losing that production already. So Azaray kind of is like, she can loosely kind of piece back together that production that you're missing with Astu leaving. So, I mean, that, I think all those things are great for the Sky in the short term. And they're really, again, like, just to go back to the grade, the B-plus grade, that the Sky are now committing to the timeline of, we're going to build around Diamond, but we're also going to, in the next couple of years, really go for it. And that's something they really needed to do. And that level, I understand getting rid of KLS, because they can't have too many projects on the team, I guess. And I don't think we know what Gabby is going to be just yet. We have to see her one more season to really get a real grasp on what she can be as a player. I understand the KLS trade, but just the only pushback I have is just that, you know, just we don't know how well Azure is going to progress health wise, and you know, and just that, you know, KLS, we do, just to say that she was the wrong pick is just something you can just so easy to say in retrospect than it is to say that in the moment it was wrong. I know Eric Nemchak would push back on that because I think he was pretty critical of the pick at the time, but like, you know, that's just to me, that's the only frustrations I've had with this guy's offseason. But everything else, I'm really excited about for heading into 2020.
Definitely. And I want to see Azure Stevens. I'm going to watch more footage of her because I haven't had a good chance. Just a personal reason we all need to get into. But
yeah,
you have, I'm trusting your opinion for sure on this, because aggressive play is something that the Sky need, especially on those things that they were deficient on last year, which was offensive rebounding and getting to the free throw line. So if she's a forward who is not afraid to drive the ball to the basket, more often than not, that's going to get you points without being defended, a.k.a. foul shots.
And I think,
the more times you can get to the free throw line, the better chance you're going to have, because you stop the game. You're gonna have a good chance of free points, and the Sky, being a fairly good jump shooting team, are a fairly good free throw shooting team. Keep going.
Yeah, well, the one thing that I want to say, though, is that when you look at Azure Stevens, like her WNBA page, her stat line, it's going to show that she's not a good three-point shooter. When you watch her on YouTube, and I suggest that you do, she has better touch on her shot than it would suggest. Like, I think that she actually could improve over time as a three-point shooter. And I don't mean to make the NBA comp, but she does have a little bit of Joakim Noah's jump shot. Her form is like very comparable to that. It's much like more natural, and again, the touch is there. But like, that was my first reaction when I saw her jump shot. But like, I think that she could be a really valuable piece. It's just she's dealt with injuries, and I wanted more certainty in a KLS trade than what the Sky received back. And again, I think Stevens is steady. When she comes back, she's bringing a 6'6 frame and really solid defense, something that you can't say about Katie Lou right now in this moment. And I think that her situation is just getting better going to Dallas. I'm sure if we were to watch what her reaction was, it was probably a deep sigh of relief, just based on how everything went last year. But like, I think just based on my initial reaction from a couple days ago about how this, like about how the trade went down and just getting rid of Katie Lou, I do think this is a really solid move for the Sky in the short term, if that's what James Wade wants, you know, if that's what his primary focus is right now. But man, we got to talk about Astu leaving, because that is something that like I'm very conflicted about. I mean, what were your thoughts on Astu being shipped in the sign and trade with Dallas? And I mean, I'm glad this guy got something back for her, but like, what were your thoughts when you saw that?
It was definitely tough for me to swallow, because again, she was such a solid player who filled in when Jontel went down. And I know that they signed Jontel Lavender to a multi-year deal, mm-hmm. but she had expressed so much want to stay and play specifically for this coach. She'll be with a good coach in Brian Agler in Dallas, but it's a bit different, you know? It's just a different atmosphere, a different environment from that part of Texas to this part of Chicago. I don't know how Astu adjusted to the city, if she even was, you know, out and about like that. But just as the team goes, you put the numbers out there: 10.7 rebounds, 16.8 rebounds in a two-game playoff performance, and it was apparent she could stretch the floor so well on a team that is trending towards that positionless basketball style play. Your forwards aren't hanging out by the basket necessarily, and your guards aren't staying on the perimeter. She could shoot the three well. She could shoot that corner three very well. Mm-hmm. Remember, without those 10 seconds at the end of the Las Vegas game, Stu's three sends Chicago to Connecticut.
Dude,
point blank period.
That is, I can't believe how much we've forgotten about how much Astu, like, how much she did for them in August and in the playoffs.
They drew up that play for her. They drew up that play to get Astu the ball to shoot a three from the corner. That's how much James Wade trusted her in September for a player who was not in the rotation at the beginning of the season.
She earned that. She absolutely earned that too. And that's the thing. It's just like, I know they had that deep connection going back to 2014 when Wade saw her, I think, for the first time. And like, you know, it was so much more than like that play specifically. I'm glad you brought it up because I didn't have it in my notes. It's just like, there was trust with Astu anytime she was on the floor. And again, like I said it already, she averaged like 16.5 and 8 in the playoffs. I mean, you can't convince me losing that player doesn't hurt you a little bit. And I know that this guy now actually have more clarity. And I think the, like, in like how the rotation kind of fills out and that you don't necessarily have to rely on the bench mob every night, which, you know, I think has its upside. But in terms of like getting people in a groove, and I think that Cheyenne is the one that kind of benefits the most out of seeing some of this front court depth being trimmed a little bit. Like, just losing Astu really is just bums me out because I really think that she would have been a really, really valuable piece. And again, I really like, you know, this is why the Steph Dolson signing really, like, it's an A-plus signing. Because, like I said in the last episode, I think Astu could have filled in for some of the production that if Steph did indeed leave this offseason, that Astu could have come in and just filled that role. Not as much of it as like a facilitator, because Steph is an underrated facilitator, but like just having Astu on that roster, I think I just wish the flexibility was there to bring her back. To me, I think that's going to hurt this guy more than let's just say that Chantel, or not Chantel, that was a combination of Cheyenne and Chantel. If Cheyenne like is up and down again and can't be that consistent force inside, like, you know, she's shown, especially in the beginning part of last season, it's just, you know, we don't know. I don't know, to me it just seems like they could have, like, Astu, her presence on this team is going to be missed a little bit, but maybe that's too strong of a reaction. I don't know.
No, I think you're right, it definitely will, for all of those reasons you mentioned. She's just a floor-stretching player. You're going to miss having that big who can step outside and shoot from the mid-range or from the three-point spot. I mean, Jontel said she is working on that part of her game so that she can get a more consistent three-point shot. Cheyenne's not really that player. She hit one in that really big game she had near the end of the season, but she's not a step outside and shoot kind of player. So you're going to miss that. You're going to miss being able to run some high-low action or elevated door-type screens to get a, you know, a 6'9" player, a 3-point shot.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And you know what? All the moves just kind of, like, this offseason, again, like, you really can argue that this was an A-minus offseason for this guy, just because when you look around the league and you see some of these teams, I think the Sky are up there in just in terms of spacing, which is arguably, like, one of the most valuable pieces in basketball now, like, for a team. They have some of the best spacing in the league, and I think that's going to be really valuable for them moving forward. And they already have 1 year of experience of, like, this core already has a year of experience together, and some of them more than that. And they're just running it back. And I think I think that this team has a real shot at contending next year. But actually, we haven't actually talked about that yet. Where do you put them? Like, are they in that 1-3? Are they in that 2-6? Or not 2-6, 4-6? I mean, where would you put the Sky right now?
It's hard to say because teams have brought those stars back that weren't here last year. Breonna Stewart's back, which makes Seattle an automatic championship contender. Yeah. Point blank. It's going to be hard for the Sky to get around them. Seattle, even without Breonna Stewart and without Natasha Howard for some stretch of time, played Chicago very tough. And they played Los Angeles very tough in that playoff game that they had. So adding Breonna Stewart back is just going to shoot them to the moon. The Atlanta Dream, which a couple of hours ago picked up Courtney Williams, and they have Kalani Brown now. Atlanta, man. They've got Gloria Johnson, Shakira Strickland, too.
They're sneaky.
They might be a dark horse championship contender now, which we thought they were going to still be in their second year of rebuilding. The Sparks picked up Christy Tolliver, and they got those two players from Atlanta, Brittany Sykes and Marie Gulich. Even with Candace Parker back, I wouldn't put them as a favorite for the championship, but they're going to be contending. Las Vegas is going to be a contending team. Connecticut with Dewana Bonner now and Jonquel Jones are going to be contending even after losing Courtney Williams. And the Mystics are ready to defend their title too. So the Sky, I think this is their year to be a playoff contending team. And I want to see them stay in that top eight all season long. If they slip out of that for any prolonged period of time, then we're in a worry. But I don't think they have the firepower to keep up with those teams all season long. They should play well at home and try to, go around 500 or so on the road and deal with the stress of the Olympics for the players who are going to be playing in Tokyo. If they can weather all those combined storms and either win one game or win two games and get to that semifinal round, I'll be happy with the season.
After like the first 2 days of free agency, that's exactly where I was at too. I just look at all these teams. Like you went through the list. We don't need to go through the list. And you look at it and you're just like, I don't know if the Sky have the firepower to do this. I mean, I forget who it was, but they said that the Sky were the losers of the offseason because they were just running it back without necessarily.
Oh, that was Matt Allen talk, yeah.
Yes, Matt Allen talk. And I'm sure his thoughts are changed. So don't hold me to that, a week later. But like, I do think the Sky are in a better place than it looked. Just because, again, on paper, all these teams got better. And I think Dewana Bonner to the Sun, I mean, that to me was the biggest move. I just think that her and Jonquel Jones are just going to be phenomenal together. And, I mean, also arguably the best player in the world. And Stewie being back with the Storm, you said it already, that scares me. And I know this is going to sound like a hot take. I'm just going to go for it. Angel McCautry to the Aces, to me, just seems like a little bit of an overrated move. And it's very exciting. Anytime you add an all-star, you do it. And she's unbelievable and everything. But the fit doesn't make as much sense to me. I mean, she's a 28.8% career three-point shooter. And the lane is just clogged with, you have a great high-low game with Asia Wilson and Liz Cambage. But then on the other side, I mean, they need three-point shooting. They took like the least amount of threes in the W last year. And I know they shot the highest percentage, but they didn't shoot as many threes as all these other teams that are loaded as well. And it's just the fit there doesn't make as much sense to me. And like, I'm sure that, again, Angel will prove me wrong, but most of her shots do come between 10 and 24 feet. And I look at the Aces and I just think, like, did they go after the right big fish? Because I feel like Christy Tolliver, that's the player that I felt like would have put the Aces where they want to be. You just three-point shooting is what they kind of needed, in my opinion. And the spacing of this team just doesn't make sense. And like, I look at that team and I'm like, that was a team I was really worried about after the first couple of days of free agency. The Mercury don't scare me as much as they should, I'm sure. Like, they, I don't really know what they're like, how they're like, they have a big three, but after that, what do you have to, like, there's still a lot of question marks with them. The Mystics are losing Christy Tolliver. I mean, I know that they played well without her last year, but it's like, something that I really resent when we talk about basketball is that when a star player is out for a little bit, let's just say like 10 to 15 games, and the team plays well without them, and people immediately point, and it's like, okay, but they have to go through 36 games now without Christy Tolliver. Is that something that, like, you're going to tell me that team is better without Christy Tolliver, or like is back at the same place? I trust that system, and you have to. Their coaching staff is amazing. And, Elena Deladon, anytime you have her, you are a contender. And I get that. But I just think that, and again, I'm not saying that not all these teams are competitive. That's not what I'm saying at all. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And that's so awesome for the league. And it's what's probably the most exciting part about free agency is just that fact alone, that 1 through 10, you can really just make an argument that, like, those are some really solid teams you have now. I just think the Sky are they need to be talked about more as contenders than they are right now, because you have a 3-time All-Star in Allie Quigley. You have one of the greatest point guards ever in Courtney Vandersloot. And more than anything else, like, I know I said this at the top, Diamond can make, this is year three. You're telling me, like, that she's not poised for that even, like, bigger breakout year than she had last year? It's just like, whoa, this team is so much better running it back than I think that, you know, with all of the, you know, all the sparkle around these free agency additions and people getting really hyped to see, like, how much movement there was in the league. It's like, let's not forget about, like, the youth on this team and Diamond, and, like, you know, Gabby could take another step. I just mean, there's just all these different pieces and different, like, the upside is just so high right now, I guess is what I'm trying to say, that I think this guy can be right there, and I hope to see them in the conversation for being a contender moving forward, because I think we should talk about them in that light. But
we for sure should. I don't think this is their year, and I think it's just due to the salary cap changing. Mm-hmm. And because it was the same way in the NBA when they got the salary cap, and right after the ABA merger, there was like a 2 or 3 year period of just kind of wildness where people swung on additions that either did or really did or really didn't pan out. Some people tried to play the short-term game and throw big money right at the moment, and then some people tried to play the long game, and it worked out for some teams and it didn't work out for others. And so the Sky and all the teams in the league right now are at a really big fork in the road. Well, not a fork, right? They're at a turning point in the league, because this is the first time that you've had this kind of a CBA with this many concessions and this type of salary cap with the gradual increase. Like, this is a really big moment. And so teams not only have more money to use, to spend, but they also have to figure out where their team is and how they can play to contend long-term. And I think, just based on the moves that you have, I think that's what James Wade is doing. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen a playoff-caliber team. This is a Sky team that beat Washington, albeit at home, but they beat Washington when so few teams in the league did that when they were at something close to full strength. Well, there was no Kristi Toliver for that game, but they still beat a very good championship-level Washington team. They beat Connecticut twice last season, another very good team. They beat Los Angeles and Chicago. You know, these are really solid teams that they beat last year. And these are not teams who had a multitude of stars injured. Connecticut was one of those teams that was supposed to fill the gap. They beat the Aces, who were healthy most of the season. But there's so much turnover and so much of an influx of that star talent back into the league. Now, like you said, they're running it back. And I don't think that makes them a loser. No disrespect to Matt Ellentalk. I just think that they're hedging their bets for right now. Mm-hmm. And then seeing they're going to have to pay this Diamond unless something unseen or unforeseen happens. And I, in my non-general manager head coach experience status, would pay Gabby Williams. Not as much as Diamond, obviously, but I think you keep Gabby Williams on as a linchpin type piece. I want to see what she does this season, if she's worth the payment when it gets to it in 2023, or if they decide to renegotiate before free agency in 2022.
Definitely.
So I think that they're a playoff contender this year. I just don't think they're a championship contender. And that's fine. That is absolutely fine. It's going to be good for the fans who are already really sticking with this team to see a team that could be considered as scrappy. Mm-hmm. Or a team that could be considered as an underdog. I think that puts fans in the seat just as much as thinking, you know, our team's going to defeat all comers. I think in a town like Chicago that likes to portray itself as an underdog, scrappy type of town, you know, always kind of mentioned after the big cities and mentioned after the big teams, I think that's going to put fans in the seats.
Oh, yeah, man. This is going to be a really fun WNBA season all around. And I'm excited for Chicago. Just they know going into this season that they can contend. I know they probably felt that way last year, but it's just a different type of feeling when you see it and, like, you know what it's like to be in the playoffs. And, you know, I think it's just going to be really exciting. And I'm just – for all these teams, it's just going to be – there's like, multiple reasons for – fans to watch every team this year, and that's something that you probably couldn't say a couple of years back, you know, so it's going to be fun. But Chris, is there anything else you want to say before we wrap this up?
Man, I want to see, I just want the season to start, really. I just really want the season to get going, and I think when we get to media day, and I hope both of us could be there at media day and just talk to the faces new and old, I want to ask James Wade how he's managing the expectations, because like I just said a moment ago, it'll help this guy to be an underdog, but after their season last year, you know, even with all that we've said about teams passing them by, about a week ago them being considered one of the losers of free agency, even with all the deals in the resulting or in the subsequent 7 days culminating in that Courtney Williams move, I think internally they still have to manage expectations this year because they were overlooked last year. They made a good amount of noise, and they were within a whisker of being one of the last four teams standing. So that's really hard to manage with a still somewhat young team who have veterans who can police things like that. I hate to use the word police there, but it's hard. You know, you and I know when you're feeling good about yourself and you think, well, we did this last year, we can do it again, that's when you start to slip or you have a chance of slipping. So I want to speak with him face-to-face on how he is thinking about that and his thoughts on what to do with the new salary cap as the head coach and the GM. So I'm excited for media day, but I'm excited for the season.
Dude, the season can't come soon enough. You're totally right. I mean, like, it just seems like it's years away, and I cannot. This is like the feeling I had after when Game of Thrones was like a couple months away from coming back. I was just like, yeah, I need this to happen. You know, man, I'm just like, I'm so ready. It's like that TV series you're just pining for, but it's just not there yet. So I'm excited. And yeah, dude, we definitely have to get to media day. Maybe we'll be sporting our what was it, Skyhook guys shirts? Is that
the Skyhook guys?
We'll see how that progresses. But Chris, thank you so much for joining me on this, man. I'm excited for the next one.
My man, JK, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to another episode of The Skyhook. If you want to contact us, you can always email our mailbag, which is theskyhookmailbag@gmail.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter, tweet at us. Our handle is @skyhookin, which is SKYHOOKIN. And we really appreciate it if you could rate and review our podcast on Podbean and Apple Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and until next time.